All right, this is Oshkosh 2014 QuickCast Bravo in the Pattern Pad podcast. Back with you from Camp Bacon. It's late Friday night now, and we had a great day. It only rained a little bit off and on, nothing too extreme like yesterday, which was kind of nice. We woke up all kind of fresh and ready to go. Well, maybe not so fresh.
No.
Nor so ready to go.
Some of us haven't had the Camp Bacon experience as much as others. So the ibuprofen was flowing this morning, would you say?
Yes, it was. A lot of water, a lot of ibuprofen. We'll just let your imagination go from there.
Cool. Well, yeah, it was a good day. We got to it fairly early, you know, and went down, had the largest breakfast I've ever seen in my life.
That was crazy insane. If we knew what we were ordering, we would have ordered one and split it three ways.
John wasn't with us, but we went down to the Hangar Cafe.
Vintage.
The Hangar Cafe in Vintage. And we ordered, what was it called?
It was the McCohen breakfast special.
Yeah, the McCohen breakfast special. If you're here in Oshkosh right now, and you're going to have breakfast in the next few days, and you go down there and you ask for this, just beware that I guess it's made with at least four eggs. Does that sound about right?
It had to be four eggs.
Oh, and you
ostrich eggs.
You know, and there's ham in the middle of it, and cheese on top, and then there's a whole.
There's a bagel.
A bagel
and some potato
fried potatoes
kind of things,
yeah,
underneath it somewhere.
But it covered the entire plate, so I don't know. I was embarrassed. I didn't come near. Aiden ate more than I did,
yes,
by far.
Yeah, Aiden had one, and he eventually pretty much finished it.
So after that, we just kind of headed out and took a look at different things. We went down to the experimentals, and I've been here for 4 years. It's the first time I made it that far south on this place, and I've always wanted to go down there and check it out.
The ultralights?
Yes, because there's experimentals all around, ultralights.
Right, so we did the ultralights, but we got to talk about what we did before that.
Refresh my memory. Oh, yes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
good point. We did go there first. We went and all got, John, Mark, and Brad. Have you did this yet? Not John, I'm sorry. Brad, Mark, and I.
It is late Friday night.
Yeah, sorry.
Calling himself John,
yeah.
So, you know, that's a bad sign, Chris.
Anywho.
Okay,
anyways, we went down to the 1 week wonder and got to put a rivet in a wing of the Zenith CH-750 that they're putting together. If you haven't heard about this, this is a kit-built airplane that they started on Monday, and they expect to taxi this thing on Sunday. And they're allowing people to go down there and put a rivet in. There's a lot of other workers, though.
Absolutely. They've got an entire staff. They're doing a lot of the finishing work. But what you do is you come up and out in front of the display, you do a sample rivet, and they make sure that you can do it right. And once they're happy that you did it right, then you get a pin and basically a card that says that,
yeah,
you satisfactorily
went.
You're qualified,
yeah,
to shoot a rivet. Then you go get in line, and we were able to make our way through the line, and Brad and Aiden were ahead of us, and they went and did it. And then when you shoot the rivet in there, you get to sign next to that rivet that you did.
Right.
So there's going to be...
So in case there's an issue with it,
yes,
later on down the road, they can specify who they're going to give their subpoenas to, I believe.
That's exactly. That was my running joke this whole time. yeah, it's really cool to see, you know, there's going to be, you know, 5,000 plus rivets in there, and everybody's going to have there's a signature next to almost all of them for all the people that came up and did it.
And we got to sign the log book that goes along with the building of that aircraft, which is cool. So
yeah,
we all got to be a part of a little bit of history. John, you haven't made it down there yet?
I made it down for a minute the other day and kind of stopped by just to peek in and see what was happening and how far along they were. And this was, I think, when I say Wednesday, I think is when I stopped by, and they had the fuselage mostly together-ish, they were working on one of the wings when I was down there, but I didn't get a chance to actually go in and do any riveting.
Well, as of today, they had pretty much the fuselage looked like it was pretty much all done. The right wing was completed. We were working on the left wing, and that was almost done.
Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't noon yet. When we were down there by like probably 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And they were almost done with this wing. The engine's on.
Yep.
It was coming along real good. I think they have a good chance of hitting Sunday.
I think they're going to make it, honestly. But they still have a lot of the little finishing stuff to do, you know, connecting the wires and lines and, you know, electrical stuff. But
I think that's going to be pretty tedious. You got to better have someone who knows what they're doing for that piece.
Yeah. So I spent some time and I watched the guy that was actually working on the engine. He was doing a lot of the fine tuning and hooking up this and that. But I think they probably have about a half a dozen people dedicated to doing the real, I want to call it the heavy lifting, the assembly of the fine parts. But I think they're going to make it. It's going to be real interesting. They're scheduled to do the test flight next week, so they're going to taxi on Sunday, hopefully, and we'll see if we see it on the news positively.
Yeah, that'd be good. So after that, we caught the tram because we decided we didn't really want to walk to the kit planes.
Ultralights.
I'm sorry, ultralights. Every time.
There's kit planes all over.
Yeah, there is.
It's EAA.
Yeah, it's kind of the deal, isn't it? But we got down there, and it was the ultralight helicopters that was mostly flying. That's all it was flying. I guess they separate them because you see at some points it's like powered parachutes everywhere. Mm-hmm. So they separate them at different times. And when we got down there, it was the home-built helicopters. There was Robinsons, R-22s, R-44s.
Yep.
Those are production aircraft.
Yeah, definitely not kits.
But there was everything else from those little mosquitoes to – I think that one little bubble canopy thing that's called a safari.
Yep.
And what else? There was the rotaways, all the different ones. I think it looks like a blast, you know?
Yeah. The rotaway, that's the one that's produced in Arizona?
Yeah, I think they make that in Phoenix. You can go down there.
That one, you know, I've never been a big Robinson fan. They just kind of look, you know, home built to me, you know, but they're not. They're production. But this rotaway kit, it looks like a small version of a MD-500, and it's got a great sound and it's got room, and they had probably, I don't know, half a dozen of them out there, and they looked fun. That would be something if you wanted to get your rotary, that would be a one to shoot for.
Yeah, it does to me too. I'd like that little mosquito, but with the turbine on it. That'd be so cool.
That thing was so cool. It sounded like an RC helicopter, though. It was cracking me up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got a little bitty engine on it. But a lot of cool kit planes down that way, and then we started heading back. And we stopped for what we thought was the air show was going to start because it was about 1 o'clock. Well, that's when they put in the TFR
for the Thunderbirds.
For the Thunderbirds, and we sat there for I don't know half an hour, and then found out they weren't going to start until like 2:30. So then we
five.
Yeah,
that was the crowd TFR.
Planes
were still flying, but they backed the crowd away because of the higher energy that the Thunderbirds are going to move around at. And then, they kind of started the air show a little bit after 2, but I think by that point we had all kind of moved on.
Yeah, we kind of separated at that point, and I went and photographed some of it. Of course, here comes the rain again, so, you know, the gray sky, and every once in a while I started to put my camera away and walk away, and the rain lets up, right? And I was like, oh, okay. So I walk back, get my camera out. And all of a sudden, here comes the rain again. So I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe it's just trying to follow me. Anyways, after that, what'd we do? Oh, the Thunderbirds were going, and I kind of left like after like a couple of minutes of that. So I went through I sat through most of the air show, but left shortly after the Thunderbirds because it started to rain again pretty good.
Yeah.
So I started to head back, and then we met up again at the Sennheiser tent for the open airplane party.
That was a good time. A lot of people there.
Yeah, John, what did you think about the open airplane party? We've been to several of these now. It seems to get bigger and bigger a little bit every year.
Yeah, this is definitely the largest I've seen. I pulled up a little late, actually, coincidentally, right on time for. We'll get to that in a second, but. It was when we pulled up, there was, you know, significantly more people than there usually has been. I noticed before the air show, I think it was last week, I'm on Sennheiser's regular marketing, not marketing, it's like the regular, like, oh, here's their new headset, whatever, or headphones, or it's not aviation related at all. And they had an email that went out that talked about Potapalooza and how they're having the open airplane party and come check us out at the booth at Air Venture. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's open airplane, the aviators, Potapalooza, all kind of crammed into one party with free alcohol. They ran out of pretty quickly this year. with the increase of people. So
grab more.
True, it's Wisconsin, so I would expect that.
And they had coffee.
Yeah, they did have coffee.
Flying High Coffee.
So I showed up, and as I'm walking up to actually go grab a beer, I see that the rest of my co-hosts here that we're talking to were already up there and about to go on for Potapalooza, so I had kind of come in at the right time.
And all of a sudden, David just goes, and now we got the In a Pattern podcast, and here's John. Just bam.
So I didn't know what the format was this year, which is why I was caught off guard, because they change the format every year. So I'm like, are we doing anything special? Are we just talking about the podcast? Like, I don't know what we're doing. So, yeah, you know.
I just gave him the heads up. I'm like, just talk about us.
Yeah.
Who are we? What do we do? And so, yeah, it worked out well.
Yeah, because it's been 1 year we did these panel discussions, and then another year it was just the podcast. And I'm just like, who knows what it is this year? But, yeah, that turned out pretty well, and seemed to be a pretty good party. And then we kind of...
We had some pretty cool guests show up.
Some pilots.
I saw the Geico Sky Typers. Yeah. And coincidentally, we are putting cameras in airplanes tomorrow because they showed up, so...
We got friends in high places, don't you know?
You're starting to sound like you've been in Wisconsin a little longer than you should have. But there's always like Rob Ryder was there last year. I don't know if he showed up this year.
I thought I saw him, but that was just another guy in a flight suit. Several of those.
There's always a bunch of people that show up that, you know, in the air show community or just all kinds of people. So it's nice.
It's the podcaster groupies.
Yeah.
All four of our fans showed up, and we thank you for that. Tracy, even though you've only downloaded 2 episodes, we don't know if you've actually listened to him, but we still appreciate you.
Yeah, we do.
So I have an idea with the, because of the flight suit guys that were there, they all looked really, really hot, and they got a lot of attention.
I'm thinking our uniforms next year are going to be flight suits.
In the pattern flight suits.
In the pattern flight suits.
Yeah, we'll hit the Army surplus tent that's right over there, and we'll pick up flight suits and Nomex gloves and maybe even some helmets.
I'll get some iron-ons made.
As someone who has to lug a crap load of gear around here all the time, I don't know how I feel about this.
But you'll look cool, so that's all that matters.
But actually, before all of this happened at the podcaster gathering, we were wandering around a little bit and stumbled into the Redbird tent, where they had a full motion simulator set up doing Disney Plains Crash Fire Rescue. And you could get into the full motion simulator and fly a mission as Dusty Crophopper in his firebomber mode. And they had you kind of following a course along and dropping a load of water onto the fire. And then you'd make a big turn and come down to the lake and scoop up another load and then come back. And that was a pretty innovative use of those full motion simulators, I thought.
Was that for everybody or just kids?
That was for everybody. Nice. Aiden did it, and then I was standing right behind him, and there was really nobody else, so I strapped in, and it was a lot of fun.
I went by there, too, a little bit later, and I wanted to do the other, you know, I'd say adult version, full motion simulator they had, but this one guy just kept doing pattern work, and he never wanted to get out, so I just left and headed over to the Potapalooza, but maybe I'll hit it up tomorrow. Let's see. You guys, I split up from you just before the air show started. You guys do anything other than that?
We just kind of we walked around. Actually, before you left, I had to go and go see the AOPA Debbie. Yes. We all know how fond I am of Debbie. But I have to say, in person, that's a magnificent. I was almost speechless. They've done an amazing job. And you see the pictures of her when they first got her. It was just, you know,
1963, is it?
63, yeah. And it was in terrible shape. And this thing looks like it just came out of the factory. It's gorgeous.
It's so better than new right now for what they've done to it.
They put about $150,000 just in the panel.
Yeah.
They
did leave one round dial.
That was crazy. It's funny, though. That was the one thing that the... that Chris noticed right away. That it's
turn and bank indicator. And we were talking to Dave Hirschman, who was sitting there from AOPA. And I was like, well, we like the fact that you left one round dial in there. He goes, yeah, that was, we had to leave that for the autopilot.
And he goes, but as soon as
they're getting a different autopilot for it. Yeah.
The Avidyne one.
Yeah. The new one, as soon as it gets certified or whatever. And then they'll hook it up to the rest of the glass, I guess.
Yeah. And then then they can pull the round dial out and make it a cup holder or something. Whatever. But
it's got the angle of attack indicator in it. It's got a USB plug right in the dash. I mean, it is so 21st century.
I like the iPad mini right in the middle. It's got the Garmin,
Garmin Pilot.
Garmin Pilot on there.
Paint job's fantastic on it. The propeller on this thing is painted to match the whole rest of the fuselage, and it's gorgeous.
When I saw the paint scheme, I'm an Oakland Raider fan, and whether it's good or bad, they painted this thing in the Seattle Seahawks paint scheme, and I was like, no. But when I saw it in person, it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's the right shades, and then how it's all, it's gorgeous.
Happy to pay the income tax on the winnings.
Absolutely. That was actually one of part of the conversation that we had with Dave is you know, how is that all put together? And it basically, the value of the aircraft, a 1963 Debonair with 4,000 hours.
Yeah.
What's that worth in income?
Right. You know? And they're going to base that off of what a typical 63 or 64, whatever it is, Debbie, is really worth, not what this one's worth, clearly, which will be nice for whoever wins it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, we took some more photos and kind of wandered around a little bit, and then you spun off, and so we just kind of hung around. We walked around and saw a lot of the exhibits, and got to see the Icon aircraft, and that thing, you know, if I could have a stable of aircraft, that would probably be like number three, and that's not an insult to the aircraft, but it's not a primary use aircraft by any means. But if this is something you want to go to, you know, go play on the water, go camping with, you could absolutely do it. They've done an amazing job with this.
Not something you're going to go exactly cross country in, but
exactly.
You know,
I mean,
if you have the use for what it can do in your immediate area, it would be a blast.
It's very tempting. I mean, if you've already got an aircraft and you're looking for something fun to go play with, this is definitely it. They've done a very good job with their engineering and everything. And then after that, we walked up to Cirrus. Yeah, I had to go get some Cirrus gear, being a Cirrus fanboy. Got to see the Vision. It's parked right out front there, and it's the actual
first one they deliver.
It's the one that's going through all the conformity prototype.
Sorry,
Thank you. So the outside is done up completely, but I mean it's got some speed tape and stuff on it, which is normal for a testing aircraft. And you look inside, and there's no fluff in the cockpit whatsoever. It's gauges. There's nothing on the side panels. It's just primer, and you see some equipment in the back, and that's pretty much it. I was surprised that that's what it was, but it makes sense that. To show everybody, hey, this is the working the working model right here.
I 2 years ago, I was pretty much sure that was never going to actually come to fruition.
I'm
the way
there,
things were going.
Yeah, with the way the company was, and with, I believe it's Alan Klapmeyer, not with the company. I thought that was going to be on the wayside, but they're still pushing through, and it's an amazing piece of machinery. I think it flew Monday, Tuesday. John, do you know?
I don't remember. I know they arrived on Sunday or Monday.
Okay.
So that's all I know.
So, but we walked around and looked at a lot of stuff. And then shortly thereafter, I think one of the other shows started. Oh, the Osprey started flying around. And that.
I didn't see that.
My ADD kicked in, and I heard that those blades slapping around out there. And I
totally missed it. I don't know where I was. Oh, I don't. Was it raining yet?
Nope. It was right before the big rainstorm.
I went in. When it started getting like serious windy out there, and the temperature dropped so fast, I was like, "Oh, this ain't good." So I headed to Hangar B, and I hung out and talked with Jason Shepard for a little while.
Oh, cool. I gotta go meet up with Jason.
Oh yeah. So I think I missed that. I'm surprised I didn't hear it. Just noticing the sound of it.
Yeah.
But
that's what caught me. I was actually in this big Cirrus display, and it's a very unique sound. Spun me around.
Most
180.
Definitely.
I was like, whoa.
Twin helicopters somewhere?
What?
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cool to see. So,
cool.
What else did we do?
That about covers it. I think we wandered back here to Camp Bacon and visited with friends and just kind of relaxed a little for not very long, and then had to turn right back around and head back into the grounds for the open airplane party.
Yeah.
So and then after that, we came back again. We didn't come back. We went straight to Sushi in Appleton because, yeah, you know, if you're going to get sushi in the – if you want the finest sushi in all of the Fox River Valley, you got to go to Appleton, Wisconsin.
That's for sure. We gathered about 10 of us, and we headed to Appleton, caravanned a couple vehicles, and had some sushi with some good friends. And, hey, it was pretty good fish.
And we also managed to pick up a new call sign for one of the crew. Ron Klutz, his new call sign is Headlights.
Mm-hmm. Or lack thereof, as it were.
Or lack thereof, exactly. driving back through Wisconsin with no headlights. And
we don't need no stinking lights.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyway. So anyways, we had a great day. It was busy, kind of packed full of all kinds of stuff. Looking forward to Saturday. It is late here at Camp Bacon. There's still a lot of people up hanging around the campfire. The weather's beautiful, and we're going to sign out and get out of here and get some sleep, and so we can do it all again tomorrow. You guys ready for that?
Absolutely.
All right. Any last words, anybody? All right. Remember.
Make left traffic. You're cleared for the option.